Junk Food Supper.
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 Junk Food
Supper.
Junk Food Supper.
Junk Food Supper.
Junk Food Supper.
Junk Food Supper.
Junk Food Supper.
Welcome to Junk Food Supper. This is episode number 42. This is your semi-regular, mostly weekly podcast in which me and my co-host, Perky Beantown Bowman, find weird and wild movies, typically just one per week, to review and chat about other stuff while we wait for your monthly junk food dinner podcast to arrive. This is one of your hosts, Enviro. With me, as always, is the aforementioned Perky Beantown Bowman. How you doing, Parker Bowman?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing good this week.
Very nice. Very nice. I like very good.
Yeah, it's a good week. If you remember, last week I was telling you about these Gruner Awards that I was going to be attending.
Oh, yeah, the Gruner Awards. I was wondering how those went. Did you meet Gru?
I did. I met Grogu. He was with the Mandalorian.
Okay.
I won, too. I'm very excited. So I know everybody was on pins and needles waiting to find out if I won, and I did win. So it was a very exciting evening.
Now, these awards were for most handsome man in journalism and also most dashing man in journalism, I believe. Two categories that I think should probably be combined, but who am I to say?
I won for those two. And then I also won a most underrated Music League player award. They recognized me for that since nobody else will. Nobody's given me votes. I picked the Munsters song. I know you haven't checked the results yet, Sean, but I'm just going to tell you, I picked that Munsters song. Nobody voted for it, even though it's Kevin's favorite TV show. I feel like I should have got more votes this round.
But am I crazy in thinking that somebody at some point in some Music League in the past, maybe not even JFD related, submitted that very same song at one point? What were you thinking, picking a song that people had heard of before? You got to look for rare Bolivian folk songs from the 1930s, Bowman.
Well, that is the danger. Now that we're in every single Music League that's going on, like, there's going to be some overlap. Like, it's getting harder and harder to find picks that nobody's picked before because we're in, like, what, round five? And also, you've joined the Virtual Pros League as well.
I went pro.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's harder. It's getting harder and harder to find songs nobody's picked before, but not in the JFD League. Nobody's picked the Munsters themes.
Pretty soon, Bowman, I think you're going to have to pick up an instrument or two and start recording your own tracks, uploading them to Spotify and submitting those into the playlists.
I was thinking about that. I was like, how on earth can I send to Spotify the Like Garbage song that you made? I was like, I need this. This is an easy win if I can get it on Spotify for David Lynch Week. Easy win, but I didn't really look too hard, but I couldn't figure it out in time.
I'm sure that there must be some way. And once you do find it out, you know, even having disclosed this secret scheme of yours, I think it's still going to win.
Yeah, well, that was like the one song that would have won. I don't know what else I would do it for.
But, I mean, shy of taking my own copyrighted work and passing it off as your own.
What are you talking about? That's my copyright. That's my voice.
If you were to pick up an instrument, I want to know, what is the Parker one-man Bowmand? Like, what are you playing over there? You think you could rock a flute? Could I see you on a glockenspiel? What's a Bowman interested in performing with?
I wanted bongos really bad when I was a kid, but my stepdad, he did not care for the musical integrity of bongos. He was like, what are you talking about, bongos? You can just beat on the coffee table. And I was like, that's not the same.
Well, I think he was thinking of something else you could beat on from a certain Fiesta tape he might have been watching around this time.
he told me to use those butt bongos.
Yeah, he's like, why do I need to buy you an instrument? I can just take you to Scores, you know? Mm-hmm. Pick up a couple of these girls from Scores.
No wonder Ronnie the limo driver picked me up so much from school in those days.
That's right. Anyways, yeah, I could see you behind the bongos. Maybe some marimbas.
Yeah, yeah. I like one of those. I like it. Yeah.
Maybe a timbali, set of timbali.
Yeah, just all the calypso instruments, I guess, so that I can be in a band you would like.
Yeah. Well, good luck in the music league. I think your odds are pretty low on this round.
Yeah, we only got two rounds left. I was doing well. I was in first place for a while, and I've tanked it the last couple of rounds. It's very humiliating.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Music League is important. When I was at the Gruners, I was like checking my phone for Music League stuff. I was like, oh my God, like enough with these, you know, journalism awards that are dedicated to like, you know, 10 counties in the Central Valley here. I need to know more about Music League. Am I going to win there? That's what's important.
Some things are bigger than the Gruner Awards, if you can believe it. I know that's a difficult reality to accept, but yeah, some things outrank it in terms of, you know, priority.
Yeah,
and I'm, so it seems. But I understand.
Yeah. Well, what have you been getting into outside of music leagues?
Not a whole lot. You know, in between rounds of Music League, I watched a little bit of wrestling at home. I caught that Will Ospreay-Brian Danielson match that everybody's been talking about from the weekend. It is, in fact, an incredible match. Definitely check that out if you have not seen it. What else? I went to Dodger Stadium, caught my first baseball game of the year. Dodgers getting creamed by the Mets. But other than that, just mostly music leaguing, to be honest with you.
Now, what about this? Ohtani, was he there? Did he play?
He was there. I think he got a double, maybe. No homers, but I think Lindor might have hit a homer. No, I think it was Marte on the Mets that hit a homer. Either way.
This dude's getting paid like, this guy's getting paid $7 million a day for doubles? Ridiculous.
I know. Well, but think of the money that we bring in via co-branded skincare promotions, Bowman. That's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, wins or losses if you're selling skincare products at the stadium.
Well, that is a good point. I mean, you're into the hot sun all day as a spectator. You're going to need some skincare.
It is shocking that he manages to maintain that, you know, that boyish good look, considering the amount of sunlight the guy gets. So he's doing something right.
Yeah. It's a good
point. I'm going to pay Shiseido thousands of dollars per week to find out why.
Well, I've not seen any baseball in several years, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's nice. The players have a certain glow to them these days that they maybe didn't back in your day.
Yeah.
They've replaced chewing tobacco with serums and creams, you see.
I like my athletes to participate in the use of serums.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was a downgrade when we got rid of the chewing tobacco in favor of sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
But now that it's for snail extract eye masks, I don't know, man. I guess that is pretty tough if you're putting snail goo on your face.
That is tough. I would hate to touch a snail.
Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah. But, well, have you been to the theater lately? Have you seen any of these kind of things?
You mean The Great White Way, 42nd Street, Broadway? Have I been to see yeah. Cats the Musical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went and saw Cats the Musical.
That's that musical about the guy who started DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katz.
No, it's about a deli in New York.
Okay, my mistake.
They make pastrami.
That sounds like a nice deli.
But no, in actuality, no theatrical outings for me. What about you?
No, me neither. I kind of want to see that new Abigail movie, but I have not gone to see it yet.
I want to see that Monkey Man, but I just haven't made time for it. I fear I'm probably going to miss it, and it's going to end up, you know, being a streaming thing for me, but it seems like the kind of movie that I would have more fun with at the theater.
Yeah, I hear good things about that. It looks good.
Yeah. I love a good action movie.
Well, what other kinds of movies do you like, I wonder? See, that's a segue, Sean. I'm segueing.
Wow. Wow. That felt like a segue, but I'll be honest with you. I don't know what we've segged into. I'm still just kind of adrift here, just kind of floating between segments. Where are we?
We are in the summer of 2024, you and I. We've instantly transmitted ourselves into May, just a few short weeks away here, because we're going to do...
A few short weeks away?
Yeah, it's like, what, one week? Just only one week, I guess.
It's like 6 days away.
Well, I'm bad at math, Sean. You know, I don't know. we're going to do a movie preview. We're going to look at all the stuff coming out in May, talk about it, what we're going to see, what we're not going to see. Probably not going to see many things. Movies suck these days. But I guess the big... I'm a fan of Japanese movies.
I'm a fan of Japanese movies.
On May 3rd, the thing I'm most excited about is this movie called I Saw the TV Glow. I saw the trailer for this a while back. I don't know who directed it. It might be a first-time director, maybe. But it stars Justice Smith, who I know from the D&D movie and from The Quarry, which is like a really cool, like, interactive movie video game. But the gist of this movie is it's sort of like that creepypasta about, I forget the name of the creepypasta, but in both of these things, it's about these kids who remember a TV show from their youth that like no longer exists. And as like the more they remember it, the more they remember very odd and creepy and like uncanny valley type things about it. Like puppets, like talking to you directly and telling you to do violent things and creepy shit like that. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like this is kind of a take on that creepypasta. I don't think they reference it directly, but the trailer looked really good and it looks very creepy and I'm fully in. Have you seen anything about this or heard anything about this?
I love how your little pitch for this upcoming film so cleverly sidesteps the issue of a certain participant on screen, because I didn't hear any mention of Mr. Fred Durst out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah, I saw his name. Yeah, I guess he's in it. Have you seen that movie that he directed a while, like a few years ago with John Travolta?
No.
I think you would like that movie.
Okay.
It is a very distinct vision by an uncompromising artist.
Okay, that sounds like my speed. somebody who wouldn't take no for an answer.
Absolutely.
Even in the face of all logic and good taste.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And film grammar and storytelling 101.
I like it. I don't know much about this. I'm not a creepy pastas man. I can tell you that the poster for this looks like Beyond the Gates a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of a similar conceit, too, about like kind of grown people finding something from their childhood that's creepier than they remember it. I wonder how much Jackson's getting paid for this. I got to talk to him and his lawyer.
Yeah, and let me know how much we're getting paid, because I would assume, you know, the inclusion of our commentary track on that Blu-ray somehow de facto grants us future royalties on similar films. So
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that we have to do a commentary for this movie's Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It's against our will.
Yeah, exactly. I did see that there were a few things listed under May 2nd, including this Jean Dubarry with Johnny Depp trying to revive his career. But I guess the one that I wanted to mention was May 3rd, Unfrosted is coming to Netflix. This is Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tarts origin story, Unfrosted. I guess it's set in 1963 Michigan and involves the story of two sworn cereal rivals racing to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast. Co-starring Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and other special guests. I see, what's his face? Andy from Conan.
Andy Richter, yeah.
Andy Richter's in here, but his name was not listed, but I see a photo of him. I don't know. Jerry Seinfeld, I think, is one of those guys that has fallen off in such a remarkable way that it's almost, he's kind of turned the corner back into being interesting to me again. You know, it's a guy who obviously, just like everybody else in the 90s, I watched a ton of the sitcom, enjoyed it, then didn't really think much of the guy after that, just kind of forgot that he even existed because I wasn't going out to big, like, stadium stand-up tours or anything, so he was pretty much invisible to me. And then over the past, like, 5-10 years or whatever, like, whenever he started that Comedians with Coffee show, it just seems like every time I see the guy, I am more and more put off by how annoying and full of himself he's become. But to the point where now it's almost interesting. I want to see this guy's stupid passion projects that are probably going to fail in a huge way. So this directorial debut from him, I feel like might be one of those things that might just be real awful and we can all laugh at Jerry Seinfeld.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
No, I haven't. Should I?
Well, I felt exactly like you when I first heard about this. Like, on paper, this is stupid. Jerry Seinfeld doing a biopic about Pop-Tarts. But I think the trailer looks really fun. So I'm kind of on board for this. Like, it's...
Yeah, more fun than B-movie?
I've never seen B-movie, but I hear that bee fucks a human lady in it.
Really?
That's what I hear. Yeah, I hear that that happens in the movie. So I've always wanted to see it.
Son of a 1979 housewife.
But yeah, this Unfrosted thing, it has like, I don't know, like kind of Coen Brothers energy, sort of like Kids in the Hall Brain Candy energy. Like, it seems like kind of surreal in some ways and very silly and like colorful. Like, I don't know. I'm going to give it a chance. I actually think Seinfeld is very funny when he shows up on Curb Your Enthusiasm, although that's rare that he does that, but I think he's still got it when he tries. I've never seen that Comedians in Cars with the Coffee thing though.
It's mostly 14-minute segments of him boring other comedians about how he doesn't think the young generation of comics is funny. And that's mostly what the show is.
Well, he might have a point. These young comedians. I don't know about these guys.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, maybe I might have to pick up a Netflix account at some point and stream this Unfrosted.
Yeah, I'll definitely be checking it out. It looks interesting. I think it'll be, at the very least, an interesting sort of failure.
I'm guessing you're hyped on this Fall Guy, right? Also May 3rd?
Yeah, this is that movie about the guy who wears cardigans. He's got a Starbucks gift card. You know, he really likes it when it gets a little bit cold
outside. Pumpkin spice, yeah.
Yeah, he's listening to that playlist in the music league we made a couple of days ago.
Of course, yep.
No, I have no strong feelings about this. I mean, I'm a little bit more on Ryan Gosling's side now after Barbie. But, I mean, this is directed by, like, I think the John Wick guy, one of the John Wick guys, the Deadpool guy.
They are promoting it as from the director of Bullet Train, which I didn't see but looked pretty bad. David Leitch is the guy whose name is kind of confusingly similar to David Lynch, and for that reason alone, I don't like him. I think it might actually be David Litch, right? Is that how you pronounce it? I think I've heard it as Litch.
Could be, yeah.
Which is confusing as hell.
Well, no one likes him, you know? Only people who like David Lynch movies, they got all the out-of-print records. I think he co-directed John Wick 1, and then he left to go do the Deadpool movies, and then the other guy stayed with John Wick. I think that's the guy. So, I don't know. I like the Deadpool movies. I never saw Bullet Train, but I don't know. I might see this maybe, but I don't care about it at all.
I like that in some of this promotion for The Fall Guy, like, they're making it look kind of like a classic 70s or 80s action movie kind of thing, like a Hooper sort of a thing. And always, who doesn't like a stunt guy? So,
yeah, true. I mean, yeah, movies about stunt guys do have like a pretty high batting average. Like, they're usually pretty good. So, So yeah, maybe they're just inherently good. Maybe this will be all right.
What else?
Tarot is coming out, which is a movie I've seen the trailer for about 800 times because it plays before everything I go see.
Oh, yeah. And
I don't know. It's about scary tarot card deck that each card has like a demon that comes to get you. So pretty rote stuff, but I love those teen horror movies, so I'm probably going to see it.
Yeah, looks like Ryosuke Hamaguchi, the guy that directed Drive My Car, the Japanese dude that won an Oscar a couple of years ago, has a new horror movie coming out first week of May called Evil Does Not Exist.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much about it, but something, I think it's set kind of in like the suburbs outside of Tokyo or something, and there's spooky things happening. That's kind of all I know about it. But I didn't like Drive My Car. I didn't get it. Everybody in the world was nuts for that movie, it seemed like. They all loved it so much, and I felt like I was completely on the outside with it. But I like a prestige horror movie coming out of Japan in theory, so if this gets good buzz, I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, I haven't really heard much about this. I've like seen people talk about it. I've seen the name of the movie, so I don't know. People are talking about it. It might be good. That's all I know about it.
Yeah. What other movies do we know about?
I don't know about any other movies for May 3rd, but on May 10th, we got a big one that I'm going to be seeing. I know our man Kevin's going to go see it. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This is a new director. It's not Matt Reeves, who did like the last two, which is a bit of a shame because he's out there making those shitty Batman movies now. But this looks good. This is like an actual remake of Planet of the Apes, it seems like. It seems like there's fully a planet of apes and humans are fully subjugated. So, I don't know. I like all these new, I like all the Planet of the Apes, I think, except for like part 5 in the original run. Outside of that, I like them all pretty much. So I'm in on this. What do you think?
I don't know that I'm in for like a theatrical, maybe. I mean, if I hear that it's really good, but the thing that's working against me is that I've missed a few of these newer ones and I would need to do the, you know, the catch up work to get around to it. But if warranted, I might do so. But I don't know. I saw the trailer and I felt like, all right, this looks like another one of these CG apes movies. At this point, I feel like probably a cartoon monkey has already won an Oscar, so it didn't feel that novel to me. But if it's really good, you know, I could be convinced.
Yeah, it looks pretty enjoyable.
I'm seeing here also in this second week of May a movie called The Pool Man, or just, I think, just Pool Man with no definite article, starring Chris Pine. And it's described as a stoner riff on the film noir classic Chinatown, which to me sounds exactly like The Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. It's about a hapless dreamer and would-be philosopher who spends his days looking after the pool of the Tahitian Tiki apartment block in sunny LA when he uncovers the greatest water heist. And I wonder if this is related to that surf ranch up where you're at.
Could be.
He does what he can to protect his precious city. Starring Chris Pine as the titular pool man, co-starring Annette Bening, Danny DeVito, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Stephen Tobolowsky, Ray Wise, Clancy mm-hmm. Brown, and presumably other people.
That's all you need. Once you say Jennifer Jason Leigh, Ray Wise, and Clancy Brown, like, yeah. Who cares about the rest? That's all you need in a movie.
Yeah. Tobolowsky, pack it up, go home. We don't even need you anymore, Needle Nose Ned. It's funny that I'm seeing this now. I hadn't heard of this movie. I didn't know this was happening. I'm just kind of watching the trailer right now silently. Looks fun, cool. Does kind of look just like a Lebowski ripoff, but I'm down for that. But what's funny is the deli Langers in Los Angeles that I really enjoy the pastrami from. You've been there once before. They mm-hmm. posted a photo on Instagram like 3 or 4 days ago of Chris Pine in there looking exactly like this, you know, like doing the classic posing with the owner of the restaurant photo that they put on their social medias. But he doesn't look like handsome Chris Pine. He looks like this weird disheveled bearded man. And he was wearing like really short shorts at the time in the photo. And I was wondering, like, what the hell is going on with Chris Pine? Why does he look like this? Is this like his incognito mode? Now I presume, I guess he was just doing reshoots for this or something, because he was exactly in this character's costume.
Yeah, could be, could be. Yeah, this looks fun. I think this also sounds similar to Under the Silver Lake to me. That was sort of a...
Oh, don't tell me that.
A slacker noir film. I know you didn't like that one, but I like these sort of weird hippie noirs.
What's that one with Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh yeah, that Paul Anderson one.
Yeah,
I didn't like that one. But
same. But this kind of looks like maybe it's a more coherent version of that, where you can tell what the characters are saying.
Yeah, it's a fun genre. You know, throw a goofball into a noir movie, and I'm in.
Yeah, Bill Murray in The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Yeah, I have not seen that since I was like 7, but I'm in. Let's see, what else we got?
Well, you got the Cannes Film Festival from May 14th to 25th.
That's not a movie.
It's listed.
On May 17th, we got The Strangers, Chapter 1. This is a sequel, prequel to the movie The Strangers, which is a movie that I fucking love. The sequel wasn't that great. It's weird to do a prequel. But I mean, I guess it's been like 20 years since the original, so might as well do a prequel. It's not like there's going to be much continuity after that long. Rennie Harlan is directing it. Our Man from Freddy Part 4. I know you like that one, Sean.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what he's been up to since then, but I got I got affection for him for doing the second best Freddy movie. I haven't watched this trailer yet, but I really like The Strangers, so I'm in on this. You have not seen The Strangers, is that correct?
They're still strangers to me.
It's a good one. It's a real good one. Spooky.
All right. I will, I'll take you. I think I can only take you at your word, honestly, until you pick it for the show. So
maybe I will. Let me write it down. You know, I got a short list here. I keep it right by the computer.
Does that list also contain IF, Imaginary Friend?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't. I would rather not do that on the show.
This is the new kids film from Quiet Place director John Krasinski.
Oh, weird.
About a imaginary friend, I guess. Only pointing this out because I thought it was kind of wild that this summer, the venerable film studio Paramount Pictures, that you know we're all very familiar with, legendary producer of probably thousands of great films, has two movies coming out this summer, just two, and both of them are John Krasinski vehicles, this and the new Quiet Place thing, which I don't think he directed, but he produces.
So he's got a lot of power suddenly.
Yeah,
he's Krasinski.
It's the new face of Paramount.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine that the Quiet Place movies are the only thing that Paramount has that makes money at this point. So
wasn't Top Gun Paramount though? Am I crazy about that?
Oh yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
which I mean, it's been a little bit of time. It's been a couple of years, but
yeah,
you would have hoped that they would have held on to some of that Top Gun Maverick money and not spent it all in one place.
Yeah. I mean, it's been all downhill for them fiscally ever since they got rid of the Jason movies. I mean, those things were a cash cow.
I know.
But, I don't know. seems cute, I guess. I like John Krasinski. He's cute in The Office. He's a cute guy, you know?
What?
You don't think he's a cute guy?
What?
He's a cute guy.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, I'm just letting you know.
All right.
Let's see what else is coming out. Probably nothing.
Oh, nothing? There's nothing on May 24th?
Oh, well, I meant on the 17th.
That's not what you meant. You meant there's nothing coming out on May 24th because you don't care about Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
I know. I care deeply about it, and I'm going to see it the first day. It's going to be great. It's going to be another masterpiece.
Are you the bitch?
That's a weird thing to say.
I doubt it, dude. I doubt it's going to be a masterpiece. I doubt it's going to be another masterpiece because that would imply that the first one was masterful in any way.
You're literally the only person on earth who doesn't like that movie. And at this point, you're just pretending. I know you like it. I know you're watching it like every other Sunday. You love it. You just can't let everybody know you were wrong. That's fine.
I don't know, man. I feel like if you enabled downvotes in the theatrical league, you might see a few downvotes for this. It's not just me.
Man, movie league? Now that's a wild idea.
You have to watch 30 movies in this playlist before voting?
Yeah.
I think Trailer League is something, right? With like a YouTube playlist of trailers. Yeah. That is something.
I think that, yeah, that could work. That could definitely work. If you could just throw in, yeah, the trailers for the movies.
And then you can throw in the music video for that, like, garbage song that I made. That is my copyrighted material.
No. You don't have a right to sell that song. I've got the rights to that.
I'll give you the rights to the t-shirts based on the song.
All right. That works.
Which I do have in my closet. I've been hanging on to those as a special surprise for 5 years now.
Well, I think Furiosa is going to be a special surprise. This guy, you can do no wrong. Like, you can't point to a Mad Max movie and say it's bad. They're all good.
Have we heard anything about this other than the trailer? Has anybody seen this? Did it play any festivals or anything yet? Do we know?
Yes, I think it played at the or I think they played like the first 20 minutes or something at that what's it called? There's like a big movie convention. No, it's like a movie convention that they do in Las Vegas that just happened like a month ago.
Oh, like the exhibitor convention?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, another thing you're talking, CinemaCon or something maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I think they showed like the first 20 minutes and people there seem to think it was pretty good from the podcast I listened to about it.
Okay. I like that Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah. She's good. Chris Hemsworth's good.
I'm kind of neutral on that guy.
Hmm. Well, are there any things you're not neutral about on May 24th?
Well, I see this Beach Boys documentary. It's hitting Disney Plus. Looks like this is from producers and directors Frank Marshall and Tom Zimney. I don't know who Tom Zimney is. I feel like Frank Marshall probably could have left that other guy's name off and we all would have been fine with it. But this is some new documentary film that they put together about the Beach Boys. That's coming out in just a few weeks. Another major music offering from D+, after the Peter Jackson doc about the Beatles. Get ready for an endless summer of fun, fun, fun. The all-new documentary, blah, 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 blah. Interviews with all the original band members and blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. I don't know. I'm into this. I like music docs in general. I like this period of American music. I can be satisfied watching documentary footage of people just standing around in a music studio from the 60s, you know, like just seeing all that equipment really gets me going. So I'm sure this will be a fun watch. I didn't love that Beatles thing that Peter Jackson did, mostly because I feel like he kind of ruined the footage in the way that he restored it. But this, you know, I'm less invested in this and the footage that they'll be using. So if they use really shitty DNR and they fuck up the aspect ratios and stuff like this on this archival footage, I probably won't be as pissed. But do you like the Beach Boys? Would you watch a Frank Marshall documentary about them?
I don't know. I don't really have any strong feelings about them. Like, anytime I hear one of their songs, I'm like, this is good. And then I've never like listened to them voluntarily, I don't think. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I would watch this. They seem like cool guys, I guess.
You just like that real surf rock stuff from the late 1990s.
Surf rock is timeless. You can, like, I don't know what you were talking about with that comment. Like, timeless. It all sounds like it's from the 60s. That's the beauty of it.
If you're not feeding it through a fuzzy old amplifier that's got all these analog tubes in it from the 60s, it's not going to sound like real surf rock. And even if you do that today, I'm going to know that you're some dweeb with, you know, glasses from Brooklyn trying to ape that sound. I'm going to know that you're not a real, just, you know, genuine 1960s surf rocksman.
I don't know. I think they still had tubes in the 90s.
Yeah. Man, I wish we had tubes now.
Yeah, nobody's using tubes these days.
We're all out of tubes. We ran out. There was a great tube shortage.
It looks like May 31st doesn't have much, although there is another Disney Plus documentary about Jim Henson, my man, called Idea Man, that I probably will watch. I think this is the year I'm going to get real into Jim Henson. Like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch all the Muppets, all the Muppet Show.
All the shows, even? Not just the mainline show, you mean?
The mainline show, and then I think I'm going to watch that weird NBC sitcom. And maybe some of the other, like...
There's some really weird ones that lasted for, like, you know, a half year or something, where, like, Henson would just try something crazy, and then it wouldn't really go.
Yeah. I think, like, during the pandemic, like, an Electric Mayhem show came out for a while. That I'll probably watch.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you search for Muppets on Disney Plus, you get like 800 different things. So I'm going to go through as much of it as I can. I think this is the year for me. So maybe this movie will kick it off.
Yeah, looks like this was directed by Ron Howard. So I'm sure that they put a good amount of money and resources into it. I love Jim Henson. I love documentaries about entertainment. I will definitely watch this. If you get around to watching this, I would also recommend watching that ILM documentary that they made like a year or two ago. I forget what it's called. It's something like, I don't know. It's the word magic, I think, is in the title somewhere, but you'll find it. It's this huge multi-part documentary they made about ILM, you know, how it was formed and how they did all the special effects for Star Wars and all this stuff. But it's very in-depth and like really kind of focuses on like the human side of like who were these people making these effects and stuff like that. And it's really good.
That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, check it out. There's a lot of good footage of Phil Tippett in it.
Okay. I don't know much about that guy.
But what else is coming out?
It seems like that's about it. It seems like May's a little bit relaxed. I don't know.
Flipside, a documentary about record stores, it looks like. Is that what this is? Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Flipside is this director's comical attempt to save a New Jersey record store and confront his midlife crisis. Yeah, you kind of had me until that second half, but
yeah.
Good on you, Oscilloscope Labs, for putting out things that nobody else will.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any of these other things. In a Violent Nature is a Shudder horror movie. Oh, I think I've heard of this. This is like, I've seen this trailer. It's like basically a Friday the 13th movie. I don't know. I feel like there's some weird twist to it or something, because it's like very blatantly just a Friday the 13th movie. So I feel like there has to be some sort of weird twist. But it looked pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, he's even got the kind of the burlap mask sort of a thing.
Yeah.
It's cool. I think there's also one more. Yeah, Robot Dreams is coming out this final week of May, which is a movie that was nominated for Best Animated Feature at this past Oscar Awards. And so I wanted to see it. I was interested based on that. I looked it up. It was not available anywhere. I think it played festivals maybe or something. But now it's finally getting a U.S. theatrical. So cool looking cartoon film from, I think, Argentina or something, maybe. But looks cool.
Okay. I don't know anything about it. I think that's all the movies.
I think it is.
We talked about all the interesting ones.
Spain, not Argentina, Spain. Don't send me angry letters.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of angry letters.
Yeah.
We got one. We got an angry voicemail.
Oh.
It's actually not that angry. It's just a normal voicemail, but it's from a guy that we know and love.
Hey guys, I don't know if this is a junk food supper or junk food dinner week, but I heard a couple months old episode where y'all did Starman, and it was the week after Sean had got written back from Japan, and he was complaining about the toilets in Japan, and you were talking about getting knocks on the door when you're on the toilet and how it ruins everything. Well, I've got a story. Since I got out of jail, I've been working at Lowe's on weekends, and they give us these phones so we can communicate with each other, and they're all speakerphone, and they beep real loud, and you can hear everybody's call. So whenever you go take a shit, and you're sitting on the commode, you're in there with the public, too. So you'll be sitting on the commode, and somebody's like, Hey, Kyle. And you're like, where are you at? And you don't want to talk because you're on the toilet, but everybody else in the bathroom can hear you. So it, not much it embarrasses me, but when I'm taking this shit and getting hollered at, it's kind of embarrassing. I've really been enjoying the show lately. I haven't been calling in, legal issues and all. Darn those DUIs, but guys, sorry I missed the meetup, but hopefully next year I can come. But keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate your support, and we support you through your trying times. We're glad you're okay.
Even if we don't support all of your past actions.
I support them all.
Even the time that he turned us down for Music League? Because that's what I was referring to.
Oh, no. Well, that was a different Kyle.
Oh, okay. How convenient.
But you're right. I don't support the time that he didn't come out to the meetup, so.
Oh, yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
But, speaking of meetups, I feel like it's almost a JFD meetup here when Kyle calls into the show, because we get treated to the voice of Kevin Moss. That was kind of a nice little treat on a supper episode, right? We all got to hear from Kevin for a second.
Yeah, his beautiful singing voice.
Yeah, we love it. So call in more, Kyle. And I want to hear from Kevin. It's not that I want to hear from you, even though I do.
What?
I'm just being mean now. Of course I want to hear from Kyle.
Being terribly mean. We love Kyle.
And we love toilet stories.
I especially love toilet stories. We're going to get Kyle on one day. I've been talking to him. We talk on Facebook a bunch, and We always talk about him coming on. We got to get him on one day. He keeps telling me he's got all these great like jail stories to tell me and stuff. So I look forward to those. We're going to hear him one day. He's coming on one day.
It nearly happened once. We had everything all lined up. If you remember, I went out and I bought an extra chair for our desk here at the JFT headquarters. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the place tidied up. You know, I even hired a cleaning service to come in, make things look real nice for Kyle. And then he no-showed us.
He's a busy guy.
I'm still paying off that cleaning bill.
Well, if you would like to help Sean pay off the cleaning bill, you can let him know by sending us a voicemail at 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. Or go to facebook.com/junkfooddinner and hit the call now button. Leave us a voicemail. We love them. We absolutely love to hear from you guys. We like when you disagree with the things we say about movies and things like that.
I like those guys.
And we like when you call in to talk about Music League. Are you as upset as I am that the Munster song I picked only got 3 votes? I'm pretty upset about it. But let us know by calling in. I think we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about a movie. It's got a weird name. It's kind of a ghoulish thing. What's the name of this movie again, Sean?
Angel Guts, Red Classroom.
That's the one, so stick around.
Welcome back to Junk Food Supper, our movie on the show. This week is going to be Angel Guts Red Classroom, which, as we mentioned before, I guess is kind of my unofficial entry into the Ghoul Spring series of movies that we're apparently launching now. Because it's kind of a ghoulish movie. We'll talk about it. Maybe spring is the right place for this rather than summer, because I don't think it's full-fledged as ghoulish as some of our Ghoul Summer picks, but it's got hints of it for sure.
Yeah.
This is a 1979 Roman porno from the Nikatsu Studios of Japan. This one was directed by Chusei Sone and written by Takashi Ishii, the guy who wrote Evil Dead Trap and also wrote several of these Roman pornos, including a couple sequels to this movie. I feel like this is one of those movies that I'm going to have to spoil the plot of to talk about. So I'll just say right now, I recommend checking out this movie if you think that you are interested in a kind of ghoulish Roman porno. If you've seen pinky violence movies and you want to see something that goes maybe a little bit rougher, check this out. But I'm going to talk about the plot, and there's not a whole lot of plot in this. So I feel like just kind of talking about what does happen is inherently kind of a spoiler, but the movie centers around this dude, our homeboy, Tetsuro, who catches a particularly rough stag film in a weird underground porno club that he attends. It's kind of like a borderline snuff film that he's watching, but he falls for the actress in this movie. And, he's asking around to the people that run this underground porno club. hey, who's this actress? I'd like to meet her, you know, like tell me anything about her. And, you know, the people showing the pornos are like, no, get the fuck out of here. Are you a cop? You know, like what's going on? Why would you even ask us this? Like, we're not going to tell you that. And so, you know, he hits the road. He goes and fucks off. And we come to find out that this guy, our homeboy Tetsuro, is also a writer and producer of pornos himself. And at some point when he's getting ready to shoot a porno at a local love hotel, he runs into this girl that he saw in this weird porno. She's working reception at this love hotel, and her name is Nami. And after meeting her, he becomes even more obsessed with her, despite the fact that he has a existing live-in girlfriend. Seems to be a pretty serious relationship that he's in, but he's still fallen for this Nami girl. He makes plans to go out on a date with this Nami, but is suddenly arrested one day when it turns out that one of the girls that he had hired for his pornos was underage, which causes him to miss out on his planned date with Nami, who then goes up, ends up going out with another guy. So then we cut 3 years into the future, after presumably Tetsuro has served his time, and homeboy is still, obsessed with Nami. He's also still with his girlfriend, maybe now wife. He's got a child at home. But since he's still obsessed with this porno girl, he's going to track her down, even if he might be very disappointed with what he finds. That's kind of the basic premise. And when I say basic premise, I think I just described everything that happens in the movie up until like the last 4 minutes or something. So like I said, I kind of spoiled it in talking about it. But if I only talked about the first 30 minutes of this movie, basically nothing happens. Guy watches a porno and then goes to a love hotel. So it is kind of slow moving, but I think this is a very stylish little sicko flick, you know, and I say it every time with these Roman pornos, but I just love how they're shot. You know, it's this combination of really nice photography and all, and setting these things in all these sleazy corners of Tokyo. There's a lot of cool love hotels, just cool alleyways, bars, neon signs, all those kinds of things. And really creative framing of scenes in this. Like a lot of the camera work is utilizing like weird mirrors in these love hotels, or utilizing doorways to frame characters in interesting ways. And I thought all that stuff looked really cool. There's also some cool understated music from composer Tsutomu Izumi, who I guess has no other film credits, but I'm curious to look this guy up and see if he did anything outside of movies, because I thought the music in this was cool. I mean, as a story, I think I was maybe slightly more underwhelmed by this movie this time compared to the first time I saw it a few years ago. Maybe knowing kind of the ins and outs of where this is going to go sapped it of a little bit of its tension. But I still think that there are some very cool themes going on here. You know, we get to focus on these desperate characters living in a dark film noirish version of the porno world in Japan. And honestly, you know, like the way that the porno world is depicted in this movie, it really makes it feel like these filmmakers, this director and writer who made this movie, are telling us, like, basically, I don't want to be making pornos. Like, yeah, I know I got to make these things to get my career started, but I don't like this world. This is a sleazy, gross world that I'm looking forward to escaping as soon as possible. Which I think is what makes a lot of these pornos from the 70s interesting, is that you can feel this kind of uneasiness, you know, between the director and his own material, where he wants to do a good job at making this movie because this is his ticket out of this, you know, ghetto of filmmaking. But at the same time, like, you can feel that some of these guys are at least a little bit repelled by the fact that they have to do this. So I like that about this, you know. I like that we're exploring themes of identity and fantasy, and things like this in this movie. And I think there's something kind of captivating about how low key this movie can be about its own depravity, you know, like really fucked up things will be either happening or fucked up things will be revealed, you know, by one of the characters. And the reaction on screen is often just very muted. It's just kind of like, I don't know, treated in this kind of matter-of-fact way where it's like, this is a universe where just terrible things happen to people all the time and nobody gets too worked up about it. At the same time, not a whole lot happens in the runtime. You probably could have fit this entire story into about 30 minutes or something instead of 79. But I like these performers. I like these locations. I like this style of filmmaking. So I feel like I'm down to hang out with these people and just kind of observe this weird-ass sicko story, even when not a whole lot is going on. And yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one, I think, because I usually don't get sucked in too much to the rougher side of these Roman porno movies. You know, they do kind of run the gamut, these Roman pornos. And usually the meaner they go, the less artful they are. But I think that is definitely not the case here. This is a very artful, well-made movie. And I think that's kind of impressive. So anyways, you know, now that we've done some of the more silly Roman pornos in the past, you know, things like Beautiful Wrestlers, Down for the Count, or I Love It from Behind, you know, I feel like this was kind of a interesting counterpoint to see like what the range of Nikatsu was at this point in time. But I feel like I got to ask Bowman now. Bowman, what kind of Roman pornos y'all preferring in there? You like these dark and, you know, evil ones, or you like those kind of silly fun ones?
Well, you say this is a Roman porno, but it takes place in Japan. I don't get it. Get it? Get it? Get that joke? I definitely like the funny, silly Roman pornos better. I'll just let you know, just yeah. Straight up.
You like it better when guys are getting fingies squeezed up their butts, and we're all laughing about it.
Yeah, I like it when guys are just being dudes. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, I think softcore porn kind of. Maybe it's the USA Up All Night that I was raised by and the Jim Wynorski and stuff, but like I just like it when it's fun and silly.
You just like to relax during entertainment.
That is also a good point. I do like that as well.
I just like to relax during entertainment.
So there's a lot of stuff that I find interesting in this. I was also, I mean, just disclaimer, I was probably not in the right mood to watch this because I had just won 2 very prestigious journalism awards. So I was like in a good mood. So like that probably didn't help.
I get it. Your mind was on the Groner Awards. You couldn't think about the Boner Awards. I get it.
Exactly. So yeah, and this does start out like, I mean, just immediately there's like a very stark, non-consensual sex scene. So it's like, just immediately it's like, here you go, Parker. Your mood is ruined kind of a movie. But there's a lot of interesting stuff. Like you said, it's very stylish. The end scene is very beautiful to look at, especially, I felt.
There's one shot in this where he, like, you know, later on in the movie when he finally reconnects with Nami and he sees her, like, standing in the rain at night and there's, like, a neon light in the background or something. It's, like, maybe the most beautiful shot I've seen in any Japanese movie. It's so incredible. And it's just a woman kind of looking at camera in the rain, but it's so cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff like that in this, which, yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, you said, I don't know if you said this as an opinion or more so a fact, but if you were saying it as an opinion, I agree that you could definitely cut a lot of stuff out of this, and like I think a lot more of like that great filmmaking would shine through if this was much shorter.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess at that point, it's no longer movie length because it's already pretty short. But because, you know, as you watch it, like, you know, you kind of be sucked in by the filmmaking and the pretty stuff. And like, just the kind of novelty of a movie about the making of Japanese porno. Because, I mean, we've seen over here, you know, we've got our Boogie Nights and we've got our hardcore, and it shows up in movies. Here, the American side of making pornos, and that seedy underbelly. But seeing the Japanese part of it, like, that's very interesting to me. So you get caught up in these things, and then there'll be like a 20-minute sex scene that is very boring and not sexy at all, and it's like, okay, well, now I'm out of this movie now. And
what, are you specialize in porn?
I do, yes. And there are like three of those in this movie, and I mean, they're each probably like 10 minutes long, I think. And yeah, they're just like, they're not sexy, because this is not a sexy movie. It's full of gross ghoul stuff. And they're also just kind of boring. Like, you know, it's like a lot of just laying in bed and kissing for like a very long time.
Yeah. So you do have the kind of fun element of Japanese censorship to deal with in those sex scenes, mm-hmm. and really in sex scenes in any Japanese softcore porno, which is, you know, they got to find kind of clever and creative ways to hide the genitalia. And sometimes that, you know, they just give up and they just blur it, and it's just a stupid, you know, blurry image on, you know, or a black bar. I see that sometimes. But a lot of times they go the Austin Powers route, and you get like a coffee cup, you know, that's carefully placed in front of camera that covers where the guy's dick would be or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that would be, yeah. I like that kind of creativity. Here, there are some blurred images in this, which really kind of stick out, especially because I think the first one, or the one I noticed most, was like the lady was just in her panties and they blurred it. And yeah, I did not realize the Japanese censorship went that far to blur out some panties. Although I'm sure they were probably see-through or something. So
yeah, I think it was a see-through panty scenario. But to be honest, and not to sound like, you know, the all-time creep that's doing pixel peeping on this ghoulish semi-rape porno thing, but later on in the movie, if you look closely, you could see a full vag on a girl. You know, like, there's one sex scene where it's like, I think they thought that they weren't showing everything, but if you just look, like, oh yeah, they're showing everything, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could probably get away with a lot of stuff like that back before there were pixels. Like, you could probably just have a lot of vaginas in the background and nobody would ever be the wiser.
Yeah. A golden age of background vaginas.
So I don't know. Yeah. This, like, I feel like if you would take the porno out of this movie, it would be probably a pretty good movie. It actually reminded me a lot of Audition, the way that like a guy gets obsessed with an actress. I mean, some of the ghoulishness, I guess, like, although this movie isn't ghoulish in the same way Audition is, but just that sort of like that being obsessed with like that obsessiveness and stuff. I don't know. I mean, and sort of just like kind of the overall creepy feel in a lot of places. It reminded me of Audition.
Yeah.
I should probably rewatch that. What were you going to say?
I could see that. I could definitely see that for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. This is very interesting. I might rewatch this one day in a couple of months and like maybe just fast forward through the boring sex scenes. This would probably be one of those ones that I think about from time to time that way. So I wasn't like over the moon for it, but it's a very interesting movie. It's also interesting that this is based on a manga, because I'm not like, you know, I don't read a lot of mangas or anything that Goku isn't in.
There you are, you otaku son of a bitch.
So I'm obviously not well versed, but yeah, it seems weird that like this is basically just like a drama. So it seems like an odd thing. A drama with porno in it. So it seems like an odd thing to be a manga. But what do
but
I know?
They're not a bunch over there, the Japanese.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But bunch of strange guys over there in Japan.
Weirdos. So I don't know. An interesting movie. I wasn't in love with it, but I don't know. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's if you had told me that you loved this movie and it was now one of your favorites, I would maybe be a little bit worried about you, to be honest. I didn't expect that kind of reaction. It's not one of my favorites, to be honest. I think it is often cited as one of the best, or for a lot of people, the best of the Nakatsu Roman pornos. I don't see that. Like I said, I think it's a little bit understuffed, but I do think it's an interesting counterpoint to the more silly ones that we've done in the past. And I also think you can maybe detect like a hint of like found footage horror kind of proto influence in this, just in terms of like dudes kind of trying to find the source of this horrifying footage, you know, that we see in the first scene in the movie. Kind of
now,
a
who
little
is
bit
the
that.
Source of this videotape?
And that's what he asks, and nobody tells him.
True.
But yeah, overall, I think it's worth a watch. There's good pixels on it out there. I think the sequels still are DVD only and maybe don't have good pixels yet. I haven't seen any of those, but I'm interested to check them out at some point.
Yeah. It's also, if you go looking for it, it's a little bit of a hard movie to find stuff about, because apparently there's some band that named their album the name of this movie. So a lot of times you'll find that album and stuff about that album rather than stuff about this movie. So I was like trying to like look up stuff and do some research and stuff, and it was very hard because all I was finding was stuff about that band.
Yeah, they keep directing you to Zuzu's Wikipedia page, who I should mention. Yep. Zuzu also did a famous Twin Peaks soundtrack cover album that's kind of interesting. Uh-oh. So check that okay. out.
I like the sound of that. Well, tell me what you like the sound of, Sean.
Mostly whale sounds. That's what I listen to when I'm sleeping.
That's understandable.
Preferably a baleen whale.
Yeah, I mean, baleens are the best. Yeah. You don't want to listen to beluga when you're trying to sleep.
These days? No thanks, dude. What is this, last week?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got two movies here for you next week, or next time. Next week, we're hitting the road with Kevin. And by the road, I mean a podcast.
What?
But the week after that, we're going to be back here and we're going to be talking about a movie, and I'm going to give you a choice between two things. Would you like to watch and discuss a movie from the year 1985?
Okay.
Or one from the year 2020?
What about one from the year 2085?
I don't have any of those movies yet. We're going to have to wait a few years. 61 years. We can watch one of those.
I'm sure that we'll still be podcasting at that point. So probably. I look forward to that.
One of these I've seen and I love, and the other I have not seen, but it's from a director that is very interesting. If that
what
helps.
About me, though? Which of these will I love? Forget about you and your opinions.
I don't know. Since I've only seen the one, I can't tell you for sure. But I think that, I mean, I'm pretty confident that you would like one of these. And then the other one's a mystery for us both.
Is the 1985 pick Quarry-free, or am I at risk of having to encounter one or more of the Quarries?
No Quarries.
I'm going 85.
Okay.
Don't even tell me.
Okay. Well, I was going to say it actually stars two of your dudes that I know are your dudes. At least two. Actually, three. Three of your main dudes in life. So I think you might have made the right choice here.
All right. Well, I'm locked in. So tell me who the dudes are.
Your dudes are. Let me know. I'll let you guess as to what movie you think this might be. Rutger Hauer. He's one of your dudes, right?
Yeah. From Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Jason Leigh. One of your dudes.
Yeah. From Twin Peaks, The Return.
Yeah. And your favorite character actor of all time, Brian James.
Oh, yeah. Also from Blade Runner.
Yeah, indeed so. And Southern Comfort.
Yeah, and the SoCo. Oh, is this, is it like an erotic thriller?
Not necessarily. There are erotic parts to it. It's definitely a sexy movie.
It's not Sinjinor.
I don't know what that is, so no.
He's a synthetic genetic organism.
All right.
Syngenor. Yeah, check it out sometime. I think you would like Syngenor. I think it's not Winorski, but it's one of those type of guys, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm at a loss.
This is the Paul Verhoeven film Flesh Plus Blood.
Whoa. This is a movie I've never seen.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. I didn't think that you had ever seen it before, but I saw it when I was going through my big Verhoeven kick a few years ago, and yeah, this is one that I never hear anybody talking about, but I think it's pretty good. It's about a band of medieval mercenaries who go on a revenge kick. So
can I find them on Spotify and Music League?
I think so. They're going to be in Movie League for sure.
Okay.
The movie's on Tubi right now and a bunch of other places that you can rent it for those out there who like to watch along. So it's out there. It's easy to find.
Sweet. All right. Flesh Plus Blood.
Yep.
That's an equation I can get behind.
Yeah. I think you'll like this one.
Excellent. Well, then I guess that probably does, in fact, wrap it up. I don't, other than settling what movie we're going to be doing in a couple weeks, I don't think there's any other business to do here at the end of the show. So I guess it's on me to just say, you know, until next time, do all of the things that we ask you to do every week. Go to junkfooddinner.com. Just click around randomly. Maybe hit refresh on junkfooddinner.com a few hundred times for us. We're trying to get our website numbers up. You know, it's an SEO thing. Go to our social medias. Really, the only one that matters is our Discord. If you've been on the fence, let me tell you, get off that fence and get onto Discord. It's a lot of fun. There's no cops. That's a guarantee. And there's like funny GIFs and stuff, and you love funny GIFs. So get on Discord, hang out with me and Bowman, and also Kevin. If you want to talk to Kevin, that's where he's at. He's not on Junk Food Supper, but he is on Discord. So you'll have a lot of fun there with us and all the JFT crew. You can join our Music League and do all that stuff. But you can also send us an email at jftpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-746-JUNK, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it. So until next time, this is your, patreon.com/junkfooddinner if you want to get those bonus episodes where we review Twin Peaks and do other stuff too. So check those out. But anyways, until next time, this is your friend, Sen Byro, your other friend, Perky Beantown Bowman, saying, keep washing them dishes.